2 Samuel 18, we'll begin reading in verse 19 tonight. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, "Let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies." Joab said to him, "Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." Then said Joab to Cushai, "Go tell the king what thou hast seen." And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, "But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai." And Joab said, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?" First, we need to understand the context. Most of you know that Absalom has risen up against his father. There was a conspiracy to not only kill David, take over the throne. He had become bitter because of a series of events, primarily because he thought his dad had not carried out justice with Amnon. And through all of this, we see just one tragedy after another that culminates in this tragedy: Absalom hanging from a tree by his hair, and Joab comes, puts three darts in his heart. But word's going to get back to the king. Joab's going to send a messenger. Ahimaaz, obviously, is a messenger with a proven track record. He's obviously been faithful. He was in his place expecting to carry tidings back to the king. We don't know. Here's what we have to be careful of in the scripture. There are sometimes God doesn't give us all the information that we need. We would be tempted to fill in those empty spaces with our own thoughts and our own opinions. Scripture's just not clear what happened, but obviously Cushai was the one that fulfilled his responsibility, and Ahimaaz was the one that ran without a message. I want to preach on that tonight, running without a message. This week, the next week, you're going to be doing a lot of running. Life is running from early morning to late at night. In the heat, you're running to prepare your class. You're running on Saturday to knock on doors and meet some new kids and sign up some visitors and talk to the ones that you already have promised to come. You'll be running to prepare for Sunday morning, or running to your ministry responsibilities and running your route, and running to cook and clean and try to get laundry in somewhere in the midst of all of that, and a meal here or there and a quick Chick-fil-A. Life is filled with running, and a lot of it is running with a spiritual thought or purpose in mind. We're running for church, and we're running in our marriage, and we're running for our children, and we're running. We're just running. We're actually, tonight, categorize a lot of professional runners. But as runners in the spiritual realm, we know what that entails, and that entails being messengers, spiritual messengers, designed by God and designated by God to deliver a message. And if I could get you to understand tonight, church, that we don't want to end up in the category of Ahimaaz, where we run and we have no tidings, we run and we have no message, because here's what Satan will tell you to do. Run, run, run harder, run more spiritually minded, run fast. Just don't ever deliver the message. Run and get those decorations up. Run and get that lesson prepared, and run and get those kids on the bus, and run and bring them to church. Just don't get them the message. Satan has no problem, no conflict with all the rest of the running that we do, as long as the message is not delivered. Think about all the hours of running that takes place at Capital City Baptist Church. If you sat down, got a mathematician just to calculate individually between English church and Spanish church, the time that is spent knocking on doors and preparing lessons and decorating and running the buses and the drivers and picking up the kids in the preparation, the Saturday and the Sunday work, and then it's the rest of the week. But we're dealing primarily right now with the weekends alone. Thousands of hours just to get these church pews filled, and the upper room and the balcony filled, and the back rooms filled. And Satan really doesn't have any problem at all with the building being filled with people. Just fill the pews, fill the chairs, fill the rooms, fill the nursery. That's not an issue. Run, run, wear yourself out, run. Just don't get them a message. Just make sure they don't hear all of the news. Now, I want you to see several things, because he had a desire. He had a track record. Obviously, he'd carried the message before. This is a key moment in his life. He has the pedigree. He's the son of Zadok, the priest. And every time it mentions, the Bible mentions him, it mentions the fact that he was the son of Zadok. Scripture is trying to highlight this man had a pedigree. But in this case, he was going to run to David, and he had no message. And maybe we ought to just consider for just a moment tonight. It'll help us out as we go into this next week and all our evangelistic events, Vacation Bible School, Teen Connection, other things that are going on, the Grace Race. Help us to understand the power of our message. How could we be so caught up in everything else that we forget the message? There's no decoration that's ever changed a life. There's no song. There's no object lesson. There is no story. None of that has ever changed a person's life. You're living testimonies tonight because the power of the gospel was delivered to you. Your heart ought to break tonight. This is why I believe you ought to be involved in bus routes and door knocking. This is why it'd be good for you to see some of these children on a Saturday in their homes, not on a Sunday when they're here at church, but to see their lives, and whether that's abuse that they have dealt with at the hands of an uncle or a neighbor or a family member, whether that's verbal abuse and the curse words, and how many times my own children, because of the hours and the years that they've spent on the bus route, come home with broken hearts and tears in their eyes saying, "Dad, that girl came out this morning crying and we heard the cursing, and we don't want you here. Why don't you go ahead and leave now?" And Dad, how do they deal with that every day? All we can do is give them a little space of grace, a little taste of heaven, a little hour away from all the sickness and the sadness and the hurt and the pain that's in their home. And here's what's sad, even getting them the gospel, bringing them to church, we can't change their home life because of the world that they're sucked into. We can't even guarantee a great future. We can't even guarantee that they'll escape all the craziness that they're entangled in. But here's what we can do. We can get them a message that'll change their destiny. And although they may have 60 painful years on this earth, they can have an eternity in heaven, free of sin and free of pain. That ought to motivate us to run hard and run fast, but make sure that we're delivering the message. Just the fact that your life's been transformed and your marriage has been transformed, that ought to motivate you to say, it was the message of the gospel. It wasn't sitting in a church pew. It wasn't hearing special music. It wasn't the beauty of the auditorium that changed my life or my marriage. It was the fact that I heard the gospel, the message was delivered, and I was able to respond to the message. How sad would it be to go through Saturdays just to find someone home, and then to get a parent home, and then to get a parent to agree to have that child or teenager to come, or to finally reach that those parents where they come to church or bring their children to church or you witness to them, and to get them here and then never have the message delivered to them. What a waste of time and effort. The message is the purpose. And here's what I'm convinced of. When you look at this chapter, there's confusion when you meditate on it, because you can see Ahimaaz was a good man and a good messenger and a good runner with a track record, and leaders were confident in his competence. But for some reason, at this moment, there was a personal failure. There were other things involved, and I understand Job at this point is a messed up man, and I understand the tidings were sorrowful for David, and we understand there were a lot of factors involved in this story. You're not going to be able to sort through them in your mind, but there was a failure on the part of Ahimaaz to run with a message and deliver the message. How important is this week? This was one of the most important messages, important moments in the life of Ahimaaz, and he did not deliver the message. He ran without a message. Let me just say, Capital City, in all of our year, this one of the most important weeks in our entire schedule, and to think that instead of rising up to the occasion, someone might run. And here's what he was doing. He was begging to run. Let me run. Let me run. Let me run. Let me run. I'll run fast. I'll run hard. You know, Vacation Bible School is about letting people run. People that normally don't run are going to run this week. People that normally aren't going to teach a lesson are going to teach a lesson. People that normally aren't leading a song are going to be leading a song. People that normally aren't involved are going to be involved. And people that normally aren't in the race will be running the race this next week. But running fast and running hard and looking good, that doesn't mean that you've done your duty as a messenger, because you can come and sit on this property and work and sweat, and after 3 hours, go home and never once delivered the message. Here's what he did. He ran without a message. Running without a message is running without a purpose. Why run? Why run? Years ago, I was in New York. I was staying with Brother Folk. And he gets up in the morning, run 4, 5, 6, 7 miles at a time. He said, Adam, let's go run. I said, no, thank you. Why would I want to get out with a person and run that's used to running 5 to 7 miles a morning? I had to run to the bathroom last night. It was a long and tedious journey. Amen. Obstacle course. Felt like the triathlon. I'm not going to get out there on that road with you. It'd be without purpose. It wouldn't make any sense. It'd interrupt my coffee. Yes, it should be done. But in my case, you're running with a purpose. You've been doing this for a while. You have goals in mind. You know how much in Christianity the running that we see going on is done without a purpose, and Satan is laughing all the way to hell because he said they're weary and they're worn out and they're tired and they're busy and they're frustrated and they're helping and they're involved and I don't even care, because most of them will never ever deliver the message. They'll shake hands, they'll hug necks, they'll work hard, but at the end of the day, they will not get the message. They will not get the message delivered. It's like a teacher without a lesson. It's like a mailman without mail. It's like a news anchor without news. It's like a singer without a song. It makes no sense. A messenger without a message. And here he is. He is a messenger, designated messenger. And he says, I'm going to run. And Joab said, you don't even have any tidings to deliver. It's a long ways. It's a hot day. Why waste your time? And he said, just let me run. And there's another runner out there. And he said, I'm going to run faster. And he outran him. And he got there first. Can you imagine that? He outruns Cushai, gets up to the king. And we're going to see in a minute his message. He had nothing to deliver. Boy, is Christianity ever filled with people that run faster than ever before. They're sleeker. They've got nicer tennis shoes, better numbers on their back. They're more professional than we've ever seen in any generation. And absolutely having no impact on a lost and dying world. We have bus workers without a message. We have Sunday school teachers without a message. We have assistants without a message. We have musicians without a message. We have teenage workers without a message. Christian school teachers without a message. And our churches are filled with lost members because a message has not been delivered. And we're not talking just about on a Sunday morning. We're talking about on a personal, one-on-one basis, making sure when you're sitting wherever you are at and saying, I've got a lost soul that God has place right here in this classroom, right here in this junior church, right here in this teen meeting, right here in this place. And maybe they didn't respond to the invitation, and maybe they didn't have the courage to respond to the preaching. I'm going to make sure to go out of my way to befriend that person and at some point give them some gospel, provide them an opportunity to hear the message. We have college students never deliver they'll go years in college and You can knock doors on a Saturday and not deliver the message. You can go soul winning for a decade and never, ever deliver the mail. You say, would that actually happen? It does happen. Here's the problem with running without a message. It places all the focus and all the emphasis on the messenger. Puts the spotlight. Here's what Christianity has been about and has become, but in days past, we're just seeing it now in its full fruition. It's all about the messenger. It's not about the message. It's not about the clarity, the gospel. It's not about people understanding there's a heaven, there's a hell, there's an eternity. You've got to respond. You've got to repent. No, it's about, did you hear that message? Did you see that outline? Have you heard our praise team? Have you seen our new pianos? Have you admired our complex, our facility? Have you drunk coffee from our coffee shop? Have you seen our new nursery? Have you enjoyed our playscapes? Have your kids enrolled in our softball teams, our baseball league? We're impressed now with the runners, the degrees the runners have, the expertise the runners have. But the runner, none of this is supposed to be about how sleek, how fast, how impressive, how built he is. We're not supposed to be impressed by the shoe brand or the shirt brand. We're not supposed to look and say, is he sponsored by Adidas or by Nike? We're supposed to say, what is the message and was it delivered? So the question is, when was the last time you delivered a message? When was the last time you delivered a message on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? Here's the problem. We're intimidated by the message we have to deliver. You know what the message was? Both these men knew nothing was going to hit or impact David to a greater degree than Absalom's death. He had already said, leave the boy. Leave the boy. Let God take care of him. Don't touch the boy. Joab had disobeyed orders. But everyone knew what was going to happen next. The sorrow when David realized his son was dead, and especially how he had died. All caused by rebellion and hatred and hurt and bitterness. But the message had to be delivered. And here's the problem in Christianity. We don't like the message we're delivering. So, even in our sowing efforts, the message isn't delivered because we've got to talk about sin and condemnation and hell. And yes, Jesus died, and there's the love of God. There is forgiveness. But before we get to that point, we've got to take them through the fact that there is condemnation for their sin. There is punishment. There is retribution. And that is unsettling for people. Just telling them that they've committed sin is unsettling for them. So we bypass all of that. We go with a different message. We'd like for you to come to our church. That's not the message of the gospel. That's not the message that transforms lives. Matter of fact, that's the message that makes you aggravated, because they do come to church and then the pastor preaches the gospel and it makes them uncomfortable and they leave offended. And then you are sitting in the service saying, oh boy, he's going through the gospel. Oh boy, this is going to make them upset. Oh no, they're going to be mad at me. Yeah, because you tricked them into coming to church. That's not the message. Church is not the message. The music is not the message. The choir is not the message. The gospel is the message. You're supposed to deliver that before they ever come to church. The gospel shouldn't be a surprise to them when they walk in the door. They ought to know, I've already heard the gospel. So if this man that invited me has already gone through the gospel, surely his church preaches the same thing. We're intimidated. Look what it says in verse 27. The watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. He was a known runner. People recognized his running. Now, this is pretty amazing. We're talking about thousands of years ago. There's no spotting scope. Someone with their bare eyes is looking out there, and he said, I recognize that running style. Now, if it was Shane Stensis, we can understand. Certain running style. No, there's some people you're going to recognize their run. We're talking about this was a messenger, and people gotten used to this man. When they saw him running, they said, there goes a man that's carrying some mail. There goes a man with a message to be delivered. But here's the problem. When we go far enough in the Christian life, if we're not careful, this becomes about us more than it becomes about the message. And we want to make sure people are more impressed with the way we run than with the message itself. We want to make, we come to the point where we want people to recognize, our running skills. And did you see our latest time? And I've really been working out lately. Have you seen my new threads? And you say that wouldn't happen in Christianity. It happens every week. It certainly does. Where we impress ourselves. We impress ourselves with our oratory abilities. We impress ourselves with the latest skit. We impress ourselves with our musical talents. We impress ourselves with our buildings and our classrooms and our decoration. We impress ourselves. And guess what? There's a God in heaven that doesn't smile at any of that unless we understand this is all a tool used to ultimately get that person the message. It's just a tool. And I'm his tool. Can you imagine tonight if the 385 people from Cap City and 165 people from Vida Abundante, we're talking 500 plus people, all understood the concept that I am a messenger and my job is to make sure this person clearly understands and hears, receives the message today. That may be my job, that may be at the prison, that may be at the nursing home, that may be the school I attend, that may be the college I go to. Wherever I'm at, they're getting the word. Can you imagine what would happen in Austin, Texas? But we've forgotten our purpose. Number two, running without a message means running without an impact. How much running is in vain? Because there's no impact. So here's what happens. He runs. This is a good distance. He makes it to the king. Look what happens. Verse 29, the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servants, and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." You know what he just told the king? Nothing. And the king said, "Turn aside, stand here." There were no crying, there was no reaction. There was no response because there was no impact. Let me ask you this. If it's 2 years that you've been a Christian or 20 years that you've been a Christian, can you tell me where you've made an impact? You know the only way to make an impact on a person is through the gospel. You know how Julio changed? The gospel. Special music didn't change Julio. The story of Nehemiah didn't change Julio. A visit to Cap City Baptist Church didn't change Julio. A friendly visit by Donald didn't change Julio. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his repentance and response to the message changed him. That had an impact. Now, why are we so satisfied with having no impact? Because this has become about the messenger. So as long as I look good, I'm fine with that. We're not impacting souls. We're not impacting our community. We're not impacting our place of work. We're sometimes even on bus routes, we're not impacting the kids that ride the bus. I tremble at the thought that someone could actually come to this church or visit the Sunday school, attend junior church, sit through Brother Donald's class, or be in one of our programs and never one time hear a clear presentation of the message. I tremble. There's not one man's job. It's not one teacher's job. It's not a junior church leader's job, not the pastor's job. Every born-again child of God is a designated messenger. And to think that you might have on a Sunday morning someone that's never heard a clear presentation of the gospel sitting next to you, or a Sunday night, you're sitting in junior church and you have a teenager, a child, that's never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and you have them right there, and they came of their own free will, and they've sat through this for an hour, and you allow that person to leave and never broach the subject, approach them with the gospel. God help us. We're running without a message. There's no impact. I've watched people, and I'll just tell you straight up, 26 years of pastoring, and I've seen a few, but they're always members that have determined to deliver the message. We watched Juan, one of our first converts in Argentina, and got on fire, won 15 or 20 family members to cry, impact in his own family. We watched Tony Alejo here, first family we reached for Christ when we came here. Tony Alejo reached 40 plus of his own family members with the gospel. I don't know very many people that have done that. Through Tony, we reached Donald and Janet. We reached a lady in Mexico, Marina, and we've mentioned her there in those hospitals. Hundreds, literally hundreds of souls were saved because a woman was determined to make an impact. We reached a psychologist in Pachuca, and through him we reached dozens of people in several families because they would come and he would counsel, and after four or five sessions, he would say, you know what, you've got a problem that's a little beyond my expertise. I need you to talk to my psychologist. And he set up an appointment with that family and me, his psychologist. Yeah, I know you can't do this in the States. He would give those families he was counseling my preaching CDs, and he would tell them, now listen, whether or not you believe in God, if you don't like the hallelujah, amen, or praise the Lord, forget that, but listen to the advice and the counsel because it will help you out. And he had literally, he would make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of copies of my preaching, hand them out to his patients and his clients. Dozens of people got saved because he said, I said, you going to give up counseling? He said, no, I'm just going to do it properly, biblically, correctly. And I'm going to make sure people get the gospel and they hear the message. Here's the problem. Every Christian has the same potential as a messenger. Just most avoid actually delivering the message. I thank God for Roxanne and the impact she's had East Oldtorf, East Riverside, simply saying, I'm going to use whatever I have, my abilities, my talents, my God-given duty to make sure I have an impact by getting everyone I can the message. Amen. Thank God for Moses there in that barber shop with a razor to people's throat and a cape around their neck. Moses, what are all those names up there on the wall? Those are the ones that were sitting in this chair that I gave them the message. They're sitting here. What else are they going to do? They've got, if they're going to get a haircut, and I can take my time, I can make this shave last as long as I want it to last. They're going to hear the gospel. You're a messenger, whether you're a barber or a beautician, a baker, candlestick maker, doesn't matter. Whatever ministry you have, I thank God for those decades Brother Ronson has spent down there at that prison, and all the people that have heard the message, and they cycle in and out every 6 months. Not that he gets to see tangible fruit, not that he gets to bring them out and disciple them, but while they're there, literally a captive audience can't go anywhere. He's going to make sure they get the message. Now, look what it says in verse 30. Joab said, you don't have any tidings ready. Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? Why waste your time running if you don't have a message? But he does, and he gives the message. And the king said to him, verse 30, turn aside and stand here. I can't imagine getting to heaven. 35, some people 40, 45, 50 years in church, and they ran every Sunday, every Wednesday, ministry involvement, singing the songs, going through their responsibilities, fulfilling their duties. Everyone in the community looked at them as good, outstanding, faithful, tithing members and never delivered a message. I can't imagine getting to heaven. And the king says, yeah, stand here. No, not a person. You say, Pat? Now hold on for a minute, Pastor. I'm that whole crown thing and all of that. I'm just going to tell you right now, my motive is purely love for God, and I'm just going to be faithful. I'm going to be grumpy for Jesus until the day I die. Let me ask you something. Can you be honest enough tonight to say, are you going to heaven with anything at all? Are you taking another person, are you taking another soul with you after 30 years of Christian life? Maybe we ought to pull out the old hymn, must I go on empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? Maybe we ought to pull the old hymn back out. No message, no purpose, no impact, nothing to offer the king. Let me ask you this. Truly, what are we offering the king? If he sent his son, he died, offers eternal life, and we don't even deliver the message. Let me ask you, what do we offer the king? We think this is an offering to the king. God, here's my carcass. It's Sunday. Merry Christmas, Heavenly Father. Hope you like this. I'm not going to like the message, and I don't enjoy the song, but hey, here you go. He looks at this man without a message. He says, stand here. Well, I don't know what you just did, but hey, stand here. You know what happened in this? He came. His message wasn't even truthful. Look what it says, verse 28. Ahimaaz called and said to the king, all is well. Here's what the way most people are running, most messengers, you know what they're doing? All is well. Here's their reputation. What if we go to verse 27? The king looks out. He sees who it is. What's he say about him? He's a good man. He comes with good tidings. You know what Christians want at their work? You know what Christians want at their school? You know what Christians want in their community? All they want is this reputation right here. That's why they don't deliver the message. It's too offensive. They want the neighbors to say, he's a good man. And you know what the average Christian messenger is doing? He's not telling about heaven or hell, tribulation, the rapture, the second coming. He's not telling about the judgment of God, eternal lake of fire. You know what his message is? All is well. Love Jesus. You know, you need to understand. You need to check out your Bible. Come to church if you can. Average messenger, all he is saying to that people and that he's supposed to be reaching, the community that he's supposed to be impacting is, it's all well. It's all good. It'll be okay. Let me pray for you. I love you. We're on the same page as the non-denominationals and the grace movement. We find the message we're supposed to deliver much too offensive. Which means, you know why it doesn't serve the king? It's all in the flesh. You don't run with a message. Let me reiterate this tonight before we close. If you are running, and let me just say Capital City, as members of Capital City Baptist Church, you all are running. Everyone here is running. You're turning gray, you're losing hair, you're wearing out, your blood pressure's going up, you don't have enough time, you're dealing with traffic. All you do is run, and most of it is church-oriented. I'm just asking, does it have a purpose? I hope we can change that tonight, but at least for the next 10 days, can we just determine, I've got to deliver the message. The message is his death, burial, and resurrection. Everything else is secondary. This child, these children, these teens, these parents, these people have got to hear the message. Now look at the other runner. Here comes Cusha. The message in the, we know this was running in the flesh because of verse 29. When he gives the message, he says, when Joab sent the king's servant, and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not. This is all about him. Hold on, what are you doing? What is this? Read the message. What is this? You say all is well, and then my tumult, yeah. No wonder David says, stand here. That meant nothing. What? Why are you making this about you? A man is dead. This is David. His son is dead, and you're standing there saying, I saw tumult, all is well. What is this? Have you ever thought about the average Christian's conversation with the last man? At the end of the hour, you have to sit back and say, what is this? What was that? No gospel, no clarity, nothing about his soul. Whether church, denominations, trucks, motors, guns, what message was delivered? There was an absence of clarity concerning the gospel. This isn't a matter of Austin can't be reached. This is a matter of the message is not being delivered. Here comes Cushai. Verse 21, Joab says to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. He's called. He's commanded. He's submitted. He's obedient. He's slower, but he's going to get the message out. He's not as sleek. He's not as fast. His jersey doesn't look as nice, but he's going to do what he was called to do. He bows himself unto Joab, and he ran. Verse 31, verse 32. Behold, Cushai came. Cushai sent tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said to Hushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Hushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. Let me close with this. This was a heavy message. It was truth. And let me ask you this. Could he have said it any kinder, any gentler? He could have said, the blood ran out, and I saw him with three darts in his heart, and Joab was brutal in the way he put him there. He was hanging by his hair. It was ghastly. That's what he could have said. He was very proper. He was very appropriate. This is about death. This would impact David. But he said, there's a message, and I got to tell him the truth. And we as messengers have to be a proper and appropriate, but we've got to get people the truth. We got to say they need to know the truth. Now, here's what David didn't realize at the time. This was painful, and someone had died, and David didn't want to face the facts. But at the end of the day, this was only good news for David. At the moment, he wasn't going to see it that way, but it was only good news for David. Can you imagine what this meant for Israel? Had Absalom not died, had Absalom overtaken the throne, what would have happened in Israel? What would have happened in their history? What would have happened to David? This was a good thing for David. This was a good thing for the people. This was a good thing for everyone. But David didn't take it that way. Matter of fact, David has to be rebuked in the next chapter because he's so sorrowful that all of Israel can't figure out what's going on. You know what happens when we give the message out? No matter how proper and appropriate we are, when people have to consider their sin and consider their condition and consider their lost estate and consider their destiny, consider the fact that it's by faith, it's all good news, but they don't look at it that way. To them, it's heavy and it's offensive. But we know in our hearts it's good news. We're delivering good news and we're being as appropriate as possible. We're being as kind as possible, but the news is this. Someone died. That's good news. He died for your sins. Yes, there is a hell, but he wants to rescue you from hell. Why? What would keep us from delivering that news? You say, not much. Well, then when's the last time you delivered it? We've got to get it out louder and stronger. This world and their news, they have messengers, and they're busy getting out their message 24/7. Radio and TV and schools and universities, and it doesn't matter where you go, your job site, and you can't get away from their message. And we can't stand up for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be shouting our message. They ought to be shamed. Why are we ashamed? They ought to be shamed. Why are we shamed in the silence? And Ahimaaz ran, and he arrived, and he ran first, and he ran fast. And he had no message. Let me ask you tonight, can you say, I'm any better than that? Here's what we can't do, church. We cannot have a week without every individual in this church understanding this Bible principle. You cannot run without a message.